Advent calendar. She told me. Okay, if you'll check in your pews, there should be books to register your attendance. Please register your attendance. Do we have any announcements this morning? Charlotte? The women's group, instead of next Tuesday, the women's group will be meeting December 4th at 7 p.m. at Karen Miles' house.
And that means this Tuesday. And the situation is, if I may inject, the women will come to me somewhere about 2 days before they need to deliver and say, where's your list of names? And so what we're trying to do this year is to let you suggest a list of new names. And we have some people who've been on 3 or 4 years, but some of them are deceased now, and we'd like for to add to that list. And that is Elizabeth. I'm just reiterating what Miss Charlotte said, because I would say, please make sure this gets announced real loud, and it's the 4th, not the 11th. But this Tuesday is the right time.
Any other announcements? Steve? Okay. Kids for Christ today at 4, not at 5. Anybody else?
I saw Susan, but is she here?
I thought I saw Susan.
They had a very good time last evening, and good music, and good refreshments, and good spirit,
and the youth were we taught the youth how to be waitresses and waiters. And
they did good.
They decided that was a lot harder than they thought it was, because they actually took orders and stuff. But it was a very enjoyable evening. We didn't have as many audience participants as we hoped for, but the next one is January the 14th. And then January 12th, we're having a battle of the bands. So if you know, like, anybody that's got a band, a garage band, a band that just piddles around and they want to come, we're going to have judges and awards, you know, at the end. So that's January the 12th, I believe. Isn't it, Susan? The battle of the bands? And then the 14th, we have another coffee house songwriters night. And we are, the coffee house, we're making frappuccinos and mochas and the stuff that everybody likes. Now, I like my coffee just black, but everybody knows all the designer coffees. Miss Susan knows how to make all those. So we encourage you to participate in the next one. Any other announcements? Prayer and praise requests?
and he may need to prop his foot up, so get him a chair if he does. Okay.
I'd like to welcome Angie back too. We're glad to see you again. Anybody else?
Mr.
Jamie's dad, Steve Gross. Anyone else?
Mr. Samples passed away. If somebody didn't hear it already, Gene Samples passed away Thursday. Visitation is at Hermitage Funeral Home, Schutz Lane, out in Hermitage, from 3 to 7 tonight. A Masonic service at 7 tonight. Funerals tomorrow at 10 at the Hermitage Funeral Home.
Dylan's grandmother, Miss Watson, Brooker Hills, GI. I have a friend, Mandy Williams, who this time last year was on our prayer list because they had found a lump in her breast and it turned out to be nothing. Well, she's going Wednesday to have another box because now there's two in the same breast and two in the other breast, and they're really concerned that this time it's not going to be benign. So just keep her in your prayers, Mandy Williams. Diane Riggs and her family. Anyone else?
You won't give a report?
Nancy is as hard-headed as she was before she went into surgery. She was here at the consignment sale yesterday. So she's doing good.
She's doing real good. We appreciate all the emails. We've had emails from two conferences and it's been prior to two conferences all over the United States, and especially this church and the response. And I knew what you could do, but I just want you to know. Started getting cards last night, but thank you very much, and you're doing great, and we're probably going to gain weight, and everybody looks pretty good. So thank you very much. It's huge, very much.
Everybody that goes through any kind of a surgery or it's a crisis, but anything in their life should have the attitude that Miss Nancy has. She's just up. I mean, nothing. She just, you know, some people get, I would be blah, blah, blah. She's just happy all the time. So it's a blessing to me to see her because she is so positive all the time. Okay, anyone else? Okay, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worship. Okay, at this time we're going to have a congregational meeting for the nomination of elders.
Every year in December, we elect elders to replace elders who rotate off of the session. Teresa, do you have the nominees that you would mention? Just one moment, if you have them before you there. Let us pray. Lord God, as we meet to do the business of the church, this call to work to build your kingdom, we pray for your direction in selecting leadership for this particular congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. The session has met and acting as a nominating committee. We have nominated Teresa. We'll take nominees today to add to these if there are any, and the election will be next week because we'll have to receive nominees from the 10-15 service. Are there other nominees? If there are no other nominees, we will continue this meeting at the 10-15 service for the nomination of elders. Next week, we will have the election of elders. We will also have a meeting at the 10-15 service of the corporation. Meeting at the corporation. This church incorporated, Steve, was it about 4 or 5 years ago? And so the officers will be here for the 10-15 service. And I believe that Steve, and I have gone blank, Ed, I believe it's Steve and Ed, and Pete Franciscan. And so, if there's any business to come before you as a corporation, which is all very new to all of us, bring it next week. 10-15 service.
If you'll look in your bulletins at the call to worship, it is responsive. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed.
The night is far gone.
The day is near.
The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill my promise.
I will cause a righteous branch to spring from David.
And he shall execute justice and righteousness.
Let's all stand this morning and turn in our hymnals to hymn 125. Joy to the world.
Oh,
Let us pray. It's a new year. That is, by the Christian calendar, we mentioned this last week, the first Sunday in Advent. We began to anticipate and prepare for a celebration of the coming of Jesus. Lord God, we pause from our schedules and we come away to the sanctuary. And Lord, we know that You are everywhere. There is no place that You are not. But Lord, we come to meet You in a special way when we come into the sanctuary. We thank You for this privilege and opportunity. We thank You that we can gather with fellow Christians and be encouraged and encourage one another and offer praise and adoration to You. And make preparation, Lord, for that second coming as we celebrate that first coming, as we remember, as we observe. Thank You for this time, and thank You for the church through which we come to know about Your Son Jesus, coming to be our Savior, our Redeemer, yes, even our Sustainer through every day. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and let's put in words that which we believe through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in
God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Service where we confess our sin. The call to confession this morning comes from Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The prayer of confession is a silent confession this morning. Ask God to make you aware of that which you need to confess and ask His forgiveness. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness this morning comes from Hebrews 8, verse 12. God says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more.
Please turn in the review hymnal, hymn 111. Sometimes you might wonder why we switched across the hymnals when the same hymns are in each one. But in our new hymnal, the big one, there sometimes it's just a chorus. And these contain the verses, so we will sing both of these verses of this hymn. And I failed to make one announcement that's pretty important. That is, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday at the Praise and Worship Service, we will be having, as our guest speaker, Wendy Skinner, who's our missionary to Guatemala, and where we went and helped build her clinic and build it for the Lord to use. But she will be here, not this Wednesday, but Wednesday the 12th, to speak at the Wednesday night service.
Sing all the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing all the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I acknowledge your faithfulness, your faithfulness. With my mouth will I acknowledge your faithfulness.
offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Our ushers, please come forward.
Let us pray that each of us offer our prayer of thanks for the blessings that God has given us. If you want to speak it aloud, please feel free to do so. Yes, Lord. Amen. If you will remain here in the altar area. Also, invite Mr. Charles West. Invite Charlie Thomas, Teresa Justice, Louise Russell. Supper. First day of Advent, it happens to fall on the first Sunday in December, which is our traditional time in this church to observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper each first Sunday. But it's special today, or hopefully it will be for you, as we consider the second coming of Christ. Right after his crucifixion, burial, resurrection, he ascended with a promise from the angel that came to the disciples as they looked on, that he would return. He had also promised to come again to claim his own back in John chapter 14 before he went to the garden. Hear these words concerning the Lord's Supper that the Apostle Paul received of the Lord and passed on to us about this observance. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." A death that was for our benefit, to pay for our sin. Being God, he could do that for us. If you're a believer in Jesus, believing in him as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to join us today to eat of the bread that represents his body. Lord God, bless this bread. Lord, let your spirit be within it. And let it, your spirit, be with us. That as we take spirit-blessed bread into a spirit-blessed body, ours, that we'll be spiritual people that can give honor and glory to you by every action, our thoughts, our lives. In Jesus' name. Body of Christ broken for you. The cup, fruit of the vine, representing Christ's blood shed for us, shed for the remission of sin. Lord God, as we ask for the bread, so bless this cup. Let it be spirit-blessed, and let us be spirit-blessed as we consider, that we might be spiritual people, your servants in the world, proclaiming Jesus, a great story, a wonderful story. Offer this prayer in his name. You who are believers in Jesus, believing in him as your Lord and Savior, please eat with us and drink with us. Elders, you will serve the people.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing Christ. King of kings yet born of Mary, as of old on earth he stood, Lord of lords in human vesture, in the body and the blood, he will give to all the faithful his own self for heavenly food. Rank on rank the host of heaven spreads its vanguard on the way, as the light of light from the realms of endless days, that the powers of hell may vanish as the darkness clears away.
Again, O God, we offer our thanks for your greatness and your goodness and your mercy. Amen.
Was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. for in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. When will Jesus come? If you listen to this passage of Scripture, we will understand that we can't answer that question. We can't answer that question at all. It's a mystery to even Jesus himself. Or he said it was. And do we not believe what we hear him saying, or what we read him saying? When will Jesus come? I hope that this sermon will help us be better prepared for Jesus' coming, whenever it is, or when it does happen. Matthew 24:36-40 just gives us a glimpse, maybe a fleeting glimpse, of the second advent, or the second coming of Jesus. There's much speculation about it. You've heard it all of your life. You've known of church leaders calling a group of people together, and some will get them into a fireproof building. They're looking for the big fire. Others will talk about how they know how it's going to happen. When you hear people talking this way and speculating with a degree of what they think is knowledge, you can go and read Matthew 24:36, and you can know that they really don't know what they're talking about. Many speak of the second coming in different times of history and in different parts of society. Some preachers, they preach that every Sunday. Some preachers never preach it. And I found myself hardly ever preaching it a number of years ago, and understood, maybe it was God revealing to me, people need to be aware that this earth is going somewhere, and there is an end to life as we know it. People talk about they don't want change. Well, life has changed so much since we've been here, our time on earth, and it shall continue to change. And the Bible says that there will be an end to life as we know it. What is this glimpse of the second coming that we refer to as the second advent? The word advent means coming. We're in the Advent season today. I guess it started at 1 minute after midnight.
I think we can benefit from looking at Matthew 24. Also, we might want to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, or to John 14 and read Jesus' promise that He was going to prepare a place for us. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, or I'll come again and get you that you might inhabit it. He did not want us to never inhabit the place that He had gone to prepare for us, or that He was going to prepare for us. As Jesus was taken up on the cloud, the angels, two men in glowing garments, appeared to the disciples and told them that Jesus would return as He departed on a cloud. Others have tried to say that He was born in the Orient as a baby and coming back that way. Well, that, if you know any Bible about the first, if you know the first chapter of Acts, you can know a lot of Bible and not know that. But if you know the first chapter of Acts, verse 11, you'll know that that is not so. So what can we learn from Matthew 24, 36 through 42 or 44, or even through the end of the chapter? One thing that we can know assuredly, that the second coming of Jesus is known only to God. That's His privilege. That's His right. He determines when it will be, God does. And do we really need to know? If we really knew, if we could figure it out, we would live like the devil, or for the devil, until right before that happened. I can illustrate this from my growing up years. My mother worked outside the house. Mother was due at home at about 4:30 every afternoon. You could almost set your clock by. Us kids, there were still two at home then, we got home about 3:45. And we were supposed to get things in order that we had left out of order, because she left for work a little before we did in the morning. And we were to get things in order before she got there at 4:30. Well, how long would we wait? We would just lounge around until about 5 minutes before she got home. About 25 minutes after 4. And sometimes they would go against what was normal and get home a little early. And we were in trouble because we had postponed, we had waited, and we were children, 13, 14, 15. But are we today that much different? Somebody asked me last evening, was I ready to preach? Well, I could have preached last night, but I wanted to sit down before bed and gather my thoughts and get them a little more fresh in my mind, a little more organized. And I even went home and thought a bit and made another note or two and then went to bed with a book. I may not get to that part, but went to bed to read two more things again for this sermon. Putting it off because, see, we didn't want to get ahead of ourselves, did we? Speculation about Jesus' coming, concerning when it will happen, William Barclay says, is blasphemy. Blasphemy. And he says, Barclay goes on to say, he who so speculates is seeking to take from God secrets that belong to God and God alone. And I really haven't thought of it that way. Had you? This is a secret that only God knows, and it belongs to Him, and it's His choice to keep it. And to He's told us that we don't need to know. Basically, His Son Jesus told us that even He didn't know that human Jesus, that earthly Jesus. And then if we try to figure it out, we're really going against what God has told us. We are not called to try to figure out when He will come. We are called. It is our duty to prepare ourselves when it is, when it happens. Be prepared, the Boy Scout motto. It's our duty to prepare ourselves. It's our duty to watch. Watch. We talked about that, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. How do we prepare? How do we prepare? We prepare by repenting of our sin. And repenting of trusting in ourselves for salvation. We prepare by trusting in Jesus as our Savior. Trusting in Him to take everything out of our life. Forgive us of everything in our life that would keep us out of heaven. Keep us separated from God. What is that that keeps us out of heaven? What is that that keeps us separated from God? It's the sin in our life. The wrong that we have done. Even the wrong that is a part of us. We need help. The second thing, well, trusting Jesus as our Savior and inviting Him to come and live within us, as some have put it. These verses tell us that the exact time is known only to God. These verses tell us that the time will come with suddenness. Jesus talked about when you see this happening and this happening and this happened, especially in Luke. I think it's Luke 23. You can see this happened and this happened. Maybe it's Luke 20. Read them all, 20 through 23. And says, the time is not yet. But people began to say, well, the time is near. We're having a more earthquake. Well, we've always had a bunch of earthquakes. The time is near. The temperature is changing. Well, the temperature is always changing. And I believe the time is near. It's nearer than it was once. Because we have passed from that time to this time. And if it's out in front of us, certainly it's nearer than it once was. That's what the Scripture says. Time is near, but how near is near? People of Jesus' day thought it was going to come in their lifetime or the century after Jesus was crucified, risen, ascended. They thought He'd come back in their lifetime. But He hasn't come back yet. In that human form. When is He coming? It will come with suddenly. And Jesus uses the example of Noah. And He said, people, Noah's day, you know what happened in Noah's day, don't you? Flood came. Noah and what? His family. Eight people. And then two of every animal, but seven of every clean animal. They could use them for food. They could use five of each of them for food on the ark. And they just went about their business. And years ago, as a teenager, a guy came to our school and preached and talked about Noah trying to warn them. Talked about how they laughed at Noah. some indication that they really didn't know what was happening, though. Maybe it was because they didn't listen. They didn't listen to what was happening. But they became more evil and more evil and more evil as God said, I'm going to wipe them out. So it will come with suddenness. And it'll be, people be getting married. People be going about their normal business. That's the time that Jesus is describing. People going about their normal daily activities. And when some least expect it, it'll happen. It'll come upon us suddenly. And then it will be a time of separation and judgment. And all we have to do is turn one more chapter in the Bible, Matthew 25, and read about the separation. It talks about the virgins. Did we mention them a couple of weeks ago? Five were prepared for the bridegroom to come. That's an illustration about the end of the time when Jesus comes. Five were prepared, and five didn't have enough oil. They had not prepared. And then he goes on to talk about, in that passage, in that chapter, the sheep and the goat. Jesus will divide one on the left and one on the right. And those who have lived Christian lives, they'll be the ones invited in. A time of separation and a time of judgment. We have one more. We need to live in watchfulness. We need to live watching. But we need to be sure that we have made preparation. Because the Bible says there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth, crying out in desperation. Now I see that. Are you prepared? Is this the day that you trust Jesus if you're not prepared? Is this the day that you become concerned about a loved one, a neighbor, a friend, an acquaintance, and begin praying for and preparing to witness to that they might come to know Jesus and trust Him as their Lord and Savior? If this is the day that you would put your trust in Jesus and make a public profession of your faith, your trust, being in Jesus, we invite you to come here to this altar area as we sing, as we invite Jesus. Long expected. Maybe you've been a long time waiting to make that preparation, to be ready for His coming. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You. Thank You for the warning. Thank You for the hope of heaven. Lord, we might have planned it differently. But we didn't have that choice. That was Yours. And we trust it all to You. Now move in the hearts of this Your people. Lord, cause them to respond as You know best and as You would so desire. And help us, Lord, to be submissive to Your urging and Your call. Yes, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. 296. 124. Select verses. Two verses.
God. Send us forth a prepared people that we might help others become a Amen and amen.